So today, inshallah, we are continuing with ayah number 11, in which Allah Ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ كَلَّا لَا وَزَرْ. No, absolutely not. كَلَّا meaning absolutely no. لَا وَزَرْ. There is no refuge. So this is a reference, this is an answer to which question? The question that the human being was asking, يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرْ. That the human being, the person, the man will be saying on that day, where is the escape? And so the answer is, كَلَّا لَا وَزَرْ. No, there is no refuge. So the word, the la here is la nafiyat lil jins, meaning it's the same thing with, so if you say la and the next word has a dhammatain on it, then it implies just a sort of lighter no. But when you have a fatha, just not fathatain, but just one fatha, that's more emphatic. That's why we say la ilaha. We don't say la ilahun illallah. We say la ilaha illallah. And the reason why it's mansub with just one fatha is because it's la nafiyat lil jins, like absolutely. And so, it's a very emphatic statement. كَلَّا لَا وَزَرَ. This is a same pattern. So what is wazar? What does that mean? Well, wizrun means a burden, awzar. A burden, a heavy load. It can even be a sin, like something you're carrying on your back. Wazara yaziru, wizrun means to carry a burden. And wazir, or wazara, they are your advisors, ministers, or you could say viziers. That's where the word vizier comes from in the English language, from a wazir. And that is the guy who basically handles your burdens, essentially. You know, your right-hand man, the guy who handles the burdens of the king. And a wazarun also can mean a mountain. Why? What's the correlation there? Well, the correlation is because the Arabs would, if they were in some sort of a battle, doing a karwafar, I think it was called, right, to attack and then flee. If they were doing badly, if the fight wasn't going their way, they would run up a mountain, and that's a place to take refuge. And so essentially, the mountain carries your load or burden so that you can be safe. It protects you from that perspective. So you can see the correlation in all of these words that have the same trilateral root of waw, zay, and ra. So this is another reason why everything on Judgment Day will be flattened. There will be no highlands or lowlands because everything will be even and everything will be judged flatly. And that's the difference between in this dunya, if you're born rich or if you're born poor, you get treated differently. However, on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, it will be flat physically, representing the equality on that day, and there will be no mountain to take refuge in. There will be no sort of way of escaping justice. كَلَّا لَا وَزَرْ also kind of implies, no, there are no, I can't hide behind this, I can't hide under that, I can't go into a cave, I can't climb up a mountain. Everything is open and on one plane on Judgment Day. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam represents justice and openness and nowhere to escape. So the words la wazar could mean that also, since a wizr is a burden or a weight that you carry, it could mean that there will be no weight on that day. Meaning that whatever you thought you had that was weighty, whether it be your money or your status or your deeds or whatever it may be on that day, it will not hold weight. This is reminiscent of the ayat that we covered earlier. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثُقِلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٍ. That as for the ones whose scales are heavy, then he will have a pleasant life, but the ones whose scales are light, then his refuge will be the abyss. So why is it that the good person is described as having heavy deeds and the bad person is described as having light deeds? And the obvious reason that we talked about way back then when we were covering Surah Al-Qiyamah was because it's easy to go downhill, it's hard to go uphill, right? That's what's heavier, right? To climb up is difficult. To just roll and fall downhill is easy. Same thing with to do good deeds, you have to pick up, you know, the weight of doing that good. It's heavier, it's more weighty, you know, waking up for Fajr or giving charity or whatever the case is, there's weight in that. But just running after your desires, that's light. And so this is the implication here. So they had nothing weighty on that day. La wazar. There was no weight to all the things that they gave weight to. Or maybe it was their status. Maybe it was, you know, the position they held. And Allah Ta'ala says, مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِيَ هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِيَ. That my wealth had not availed me, gone from me is my authority. So this is all implying what? That this is the disbeliever on that day being brought to account. And since we don't really, these ayat, who's responding? Who's speaking to who, right? يَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ. The human being's asking, how do I take refuge? Where do I go? And he's looking around, realizing it could be that he's talking to himself. It could be that this is a statement that he's hearing from, whether it be a statement from the angels, whatever the case may be, but it could be that he's talking to himself. La wazar. He's realizing there's nowhere to go. And then Allah Ta'ala, and then the next ayah is what? إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْمُسْتَقَرِ. To your Lord on that day is the place of permanence. So what is a mustaqar? A mustaqar could be a place of return, you know, like every day you go home to your house. That's the place that you return to. It could be your refuge, the place that you relax. It could be that it's referring to the fact that Allah will be the final judge. The last final judge that you'll deal with is the sort of the settling. Because that's what a decision in Arabic to decide something is qarrara. Qarrara yuqarriru. So it's coming from that same verb. And it's implying what? That it's Allah's supreme will that holds the final decision. That's the final refuge, that's the final place of resting, and that's the final decision that will be made for all matters. And that aqarar implies a place of permanence. So this verse implies that their final destination of permanence will either be heaven or hell. إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْمُسْتَقَرِ It's Allah Ta'ala that's going to be deciding that. Also, the end of the world will be extremely chaotic, and people will be begging for the chaos to stop, and we know that they're going to go to each person. They're going to ask Adam alayhi salam, he's going to say, no, I disobeyed, you know, I ate from the tree. And they're going to go from one prophet to the next, and then finally, only when they get to the Prophet and he will make dua, then Allah Ta'ala will finally settle things down, the chaos on Judgment Day. We know that Judgment Day is 50,000 years, subhanAllah, very long and chaotic, stressful time, and it finally settles down when Allah Ta'ala decides for it to settle down. Hence, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ الْمُسْتَقَرُ Al-mustaqar, the settling, the final settling on Judgment Day, it's to your Lord. This is an interesting ayah because it has a parallel which we'll deal with later. This is ayah number 12. We also have an ayah number 30, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْمَسَاقِ Very, very same word, very similar wording, but a different meaning. And so we'll see how those two compare later on, inshallah. However, yes, so who is the one talking? It could be Allah answering this person. It could be Allah's answer to the Prophet ﷺ. In other words, the disbeliever on that day will be asking, where's my refuge? And Allah Ta'ala is answering the Prophet ﷺ saying, لا وزر إلى ربك يوم إذن المستقر. That there is going to be no refuge, but instead it's going to be to your master, O Muhammad ﷺ. That's the where the final refuge will be. And that's where the settlement will finally take place. And it could be an answer that they receive in the next life, or the person answering himself on that day, as we mentioned. Now what's interesting here is that since this whole surah over and over again keeps on repeating al-insan, the human being, you were expecting what? You were expecting the sentence ila rabbihi yawma idhin al-mustaqar to his Lord, to as in the human being's Lord. But instead Allah switches the tense and says what? Ila rabbika ya Muhammad, to your Lord, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why would you switch it like that? Why should the tense be switched like that? And so the idea is that refuge is being connected with the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is stressing the fact that Islam is the only solution. You want peace in the afterlife? You can only get it through his Lord. Who? You, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, ila rabbika is highlighting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, highlighting that this is the only faith that's acceptable, in the dina indallahi al-islam. Now, what's also fascinating about this is that if you look at all the ayat building up to it, they were all discussing very tumultuous, busy, chaotic movement, right? So if you take a look at ayah number 7. فَإِذَا بَرِقَ الْبَصَرُ The scene begins with a flash, right? And the eyes are startled. You don't even know. Something's exploding and clearly it's chaotic movement, right? Then what? وَخَسَفَ الْقَمَرُ And the moon is being eclipsed. وَجُمِعَ الشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ You have the sun and the moon coming together. وَيَقُولُ الْإِنسَانُ أَيْنَ الْمَفَرُ Where's the place I run to? So you have joining, you have flashing, you have this eclipsing, you have running, and then finally, لَا وَصَرْ Now, إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ يَوْمَ إِذِنِ الْمُسْتَقَرِ No, there's nowhere to run to, there's no refuge, and everything's going to settle with Allah Ta'ala. So thematically, there's a big shift. Everything's chaotic, motion, and now everything's going to settle with Allah Ta'ala's judgment. So the scene is painted very beautifully. Then Allah Ta'ala says what? بَعْدَ عَوْدُ الرَّجِيمِ يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ Man will be informed that day of what he sent ahead and kept back. So this is yunabba. Yunabba means what? So nabba means to inform, but it's more specific than that because akhbara also means to inform. Nabba means to inform somebody about important news because there's all kinds of different news, but naba is big news, important news. That's where you get the word nabi. A Nabi doesn't come to you and just tell you about the weather, like, oh, it's going to be sunny tomorrow or raining. No, he talks to you about Judgment Day. He talks to you about, you know, heaven and hell, big things. So, Naba'un Azim, this is big deal. So, on that day, he will be informed about very important news. Also, Naba also implies news that dispels false information. You people have a bunch of misconceptions about what happens in the afterlife, and this is, you're going to be what? You're going to be informed now to tell you about big news and information that is going to contradict what you previously assumed. Furthermore, نبأ من بلاد إلى بلاد, the verb نبأ can also mean يعني خرج, that it can mean to leave or to travel. In classical Arabic, it means to move. Why? Because news travels fast. So this is big news that spreads. So that's another meaning. And also نبأ الحبيب يعني تباعد or تجافى. نبأ can also mean to be unaffectionate. So the beloved person, he acted تباعد, like he was acting distant, or he was تجافى, he was acting cold or rough towards a person. Why? Because the idea here is that when somebody who is beloved to you is acting cold and distant from you, it shocks you, and it has an impact on you, and it hits you. So this is big news, like something's wrong, what's wrong, what's the problem? So Allah Ta'ala is informing us of this shocking news that's going to leave you, you know, a little bit shook, or very shook. So why would Allah Ta'ala inform us of what's going to happen on that day when instead He could just send us to where we belong? On Judgment Day, you can be revived in either heaven or hell. Why have this whole system play out? And the idea is you're going to be resurrected, it's going to be judgment, and you will be informed why to establish justice by giving all the evidence. Nobody will say, I'm in the wrong place, I don't belong here. Nowhere on in the many different times you find people of heaven or people of hellfire talking, you never find them saying the statement, this I don't deserve. They say, send me back. They say, kill me off, right? Ya laytani kuntu turaba, I wish I was dust. They say all kinds of different things, you know. There's many different examples. I mentioned it once in a khutbah, a whole list of different things that they say on Judgment Day about, get rid of me or whatever the case may be. Or make sure that the people who misguided me, they get double the punishment. I think that's in Surah, maybe Zukhruf or something. But anyway, point being is that there's all these different things they say. They never once say, this isn't fair, this is wrong. Why? Because the evidence has been established. And to ensure that no criminal has a response because the evidence is so thorough. Again, here we have the word insan, but it seems that most scholars say that insan here is referring to the disbeliever, not just the human being, but specifically the disbeliever. So let's go back to it. يُنَبَّأُ الْإِنسَانُ يَوْمَئِذٍ. Specifically on that day, he's going to be informed about what? بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. What he sent ahead and what he kept back. This is really interesting. There's many perspectives here, and I'll finish with this section, but really, really fascinating. بِمَا قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. What does that mean? What is تَقْدِيم and تَأْخِير? You know, what does he put forward? What does he put back? So, what you did versus what you didn't do. That's the first interpretation. You're going to be informed of all the things you did, whether it's good or bad. That's تَقَدَّمَ, that what you put forth. And وَمَا تَأْخَرَ, whatever you left back, whatever you left behind. In other words, what you didn't do. Most straightforward answer. In other words, you'll be informed of your entire range of potential. All the potential you had in dunya, good and bad, and then you'll be shown where you landed on that spectrum. You could have been so good, you could have been so bad, and you landed somewhere on that spectrum. SubhanAllah. Very, very fascinating perspective. Another one is قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ means what? Means what deeds you did yourself, good or evil. That's what you قَدَّمَ, that's what you put forth. وَأَخَّرَ, what you left behind, was all of the effects of that. Right, the sadaqatul jariyah, if you will, everything that came as a result of that. That's what you akhara. That's the ta'khir. That's what you left behind. So basically, I had potential and I did it, and then whatever I left behind was the influence that had a domino effect after me. And this is reminiscent of the prophetic statement. The Prophet says, "Man sanna fil Islami sunnatan hasanatan fa'umila biha wa ba'dahu kutiba lahu ba'dahu kutiba lahu mithlu ajri ma 'amila biha wa la yanqusu min ujurihim shay'un." وَمَنْ سَنَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ سُنَّةً سَيْئَةً فَعُمِلَ بِهَا بَعْدَهُ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ مِثْلُ وِزْرِ. Even the word wizr is the same. It's interesting. وِزْرِ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا وَلَا يَنْقُسُ مِنْ أَوْزَارِهِمْ شَيْءٌ. So whoever introduces some sort of a good practice, like, I don't know, who knows, maybe a Tuesday night halaqah, right? Just like this. That's a good practice in Islam. He's going to get the good deeds of doing it and whoever follows him in that. Without removing or diminishing from their reward in any way. And whoever introduces something evil, some sort of evil practice in Islam, which is then followed subsequently by others, he's going to be required to bear the burden of those same people that followed him without them being diminished in any way in their guilt as well. So this is one interpretation, that it's your actions and then the domino effect after you were gone. The next interpretation we have from Ibn Abbas, he says, this was an ayah specifically, if you look at the context, specifically talking to the disbelievers. And therefore, it's all negative. قَدَّمَ what you put forth is your bad deeds, and akhara is the good deeds that you didn't do. It's only specific. You know, this is what you did of evil, and this is all the good you could have done that you abandoned. Look at you, we are so rich, and these are all the evil things you spent on. Look at all the things you could have spent on, all the good things, right? It's only going to be to increase in their punishment. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, may Allah protect us. Ibn Mas'ud, he says that qaddama wa akhar refers to what you spent and what you left as inheritance. As Abu Hurayra radha anhu, he says, إِذَا مَاتَ الْمَيِّتِ تَقُولُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مَا قَدَّمَ وَيَقُولُ النَّاسُ مَا تَرَكَ. Very, very interesting statement. When a person dies, the angels say, what did he qaddama? What did he put forth as in his deeds? And the people going around the grave say, so what did he leave behind in terms of inheritance? Right? Like, we want to know. We all want to take our piece of the pie, right? That's talked about in more detail in Surah 89, in Surah Fajr. Another view is qaddama wa akhar is where you began in life and where you ended up. A person might have started in a very evil family, and he only might have improved himself from that evil setting a little bit. And you say, well, that's a small improvement, and you're still kind of in a sort of bad zone. Yeah, but look at the improvement from here to here, right? Whereas somebody else might have been in an amazingly righteous family, but they only were a little bit righteous. They actually downgraded from where they should have been. So one person progressed. So you always have to take people into consideration. You know, oh, this guy, you know, he's smoking, five cigarettes a day. Yeah, well, he used to be smoking 2 packs a day. He's really, really trying hard. Maybe he's getting ejected for it, even though smoking is terrible, right? So you get my point? You always have to take a person's where they were and then where they're going, and that is the progress that has to be paid attention to. So qaddama wa akhar could refer to where you started versus where you ended up. Everybody has their own context, so one isn't judged in isolation. Rather, context is critical to evaluate a person's progress relative to one's origin. Next, qaddama wa akhar is what you did first and what you did after. In other words, let's say if you did a good deed, did you follow it up with more good? Or if you made a mistake, did you learn from that mistake? Did you make tawbah after that? Did you know? Let's see the progression of where your life was going, deed after deed. Some people, they do evil, they're emboldened by that evil. Some people do evil, and then they learn from their mistakes. And yes, the final one, which is somewhat similar to what I said earlier, but I thought the wording of it is nice. What do you prioritize versus what you deprioritized? قَدَّمَ وَأَخَّرَ. What did you prioritize in your life? As in, did you prioritize truth, or did you prioritize comfort? Did you prioritize da'wah, or keeping the peace and not actually challenging anybody? Did you prioritize major issues versus minor issues? Sometimes there are certain Muslims, they focus so intensely on super, super minutia, and they make their whole Jannah wa Nar based on small things. Meanwhile, gigantic things are completely missing. And you're like, Habibi, like, you do realize that, you know, there's certain things that are more fundamental than that. And I've had countless encounters where people, they clearly are so emphatic on something so minute, and I'm showing them like there's like the elephant in the room, and like you're missing this gigantic thing, and you're judging people based on small things, and they don't, and sometimes, alhamdulillah, they get the point. I've had many conversations like that with people that have come to this masjid many times. I bring them to my office, we have these conversations, sometimes even tulab al-ilm, students of knowledge, that they have this mindset that we need to focus on very, very minute things, and I have a conversation saying, do you realize that there are bigger things in this deen than these small things? So anyhow, with that, inshallah ta'ala, we close. May Allah ta'ala make us prioritize what is important and deprioritize that which is less important. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who send good things forward and leave behind evil things. May Allah ta'ala make us of those who we do good deeds and we have a good effect afterwards through our impact. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to open it up for comments, questions, and thoughts. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.